Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Hello out there in podcast world. This is Abe Thompson on the New Cyber Frontier. I'm your host, standing in for our friend Chris Gorog, for the most preeminent cybersecurity broadcast out there, podcast out there. I'm sure you're going to get sick of me saying that, but delighted to be here at the SecureSet Academy campus here where I work in Colorado Springs, and have a delightful guest this morning, a friend and colleague here in the Colorado Springs area. It's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Mary Graft. Hello.
Hi, Abe. Thanks for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Glad to have you on the show. Looking forward to hearing how things are going for you. So you're sort of the education lead for the National Cybersecurity Center, for lack of a better term.
I am.
Give me a sense for kind of how you ended up here and what your heart is there and what you're up to.
Okay, so my area of expertise, like I like to say, is workforce development. I'm passionate about making sure that we are meeting the needs of the workforce through education, through our education efforts. So I just got my doctorate last year from University of Denver, and my area of expertise and what I concentrated on, all my papers, were about workforce development. And as I worked through the program at DU, I knew I wanted to stay. I initially thought I might want to be a superintendent, but I knew I wanted to stay in workforce development. And the number one workforce development need in our state and in our nation is cybersecurity.
Yeah.
So when I started looking for a job after, as I was approaching graduation work in the dissertation time period, I started doing a lot of research on the state of cybersecurity in Colorado, and boy, we have a lot going on in the state. So I was pretty excited about the various opportunities to network and meet people in the industry, and I started learning a lot. And I just, you know, I love the people in the industry. I love the patriotism involved.
Yes.
Because we have, you know, we're facing cyber threats on a second-by-second basis in our nation. So I wanted to be part of that. So.
Yeah.
I ended up meeting and finding out about the National Cybersecurity Center, and landed a job in my area. My specific area of focus is the K-12 initiative.
Sure.
We're trying to build up a program, and that is, if we're going to meet the needs of the workforce in our state and in our nation, we better take a look at what's happening in K-12.
Well, certainly, and you have the right allies in this state, all the way up to the governor. I mean, you know, for whatever we might fall on the divide politically with the governor, he certainly has a square laser focus on cybersecurity, and that's kind of carries over to even our city with Mayor Suthers is very aware, very involved, and a big supporter of what we're all up to in this industry. So it's kind of nice there, and then you have some luminaries that you're around even at the NCC, and so you talk about this K-12 initiative. I share certainly a passion for starting earlier. We had a guest on another program that says, "Hey, if we're going to get this licked, it needs to start earlier."
Absolutely.
And you know, we know the state of education, and we're always happy to lambast our education system in the states, but there are pockets of hope and glimmer. Tell us about this pocket of hope that you're so passionate about.
Well, when you have the opportunity to go see a class of kindergartners that are already working on programming these little robotic spheres, they're in kindergarten, they're literally 5 and 6 years old. We can start this information technology education and computer science education much earlier than we do, and we can do so much of a better job.
Sure.
So that we can instill an interest in kids earlier and get them on the right pathway so that they understand what their pathways are to viable, well-paid careers. But we've got to get them on the bandwagon much earlier.
Sure.
And so we have some opportunity. The kids will be on board because you can make learning about computer science and learning about programming and coding and information technology. You can make all that fun. And then start to introduce cybersecurity training. Now, real solid classroom work for cybersecurity, getting certificates, that can't really start until high school.
Sure.
But boy, you can really do a great job with a foundation of coding by middle school.
Yeah.
And when you're doing really cool, like, hey, let's program these little robotic spheres and let's do this and that, by the time a sixth grade teacher is telling the kids, all right, you're going to be in a programming class. And they're like, oh, I can't do this. But then the teacher's like, wait a minute. You started in kindergarten. And it takes the fear. Oh, wait, what? I've been doing that? Yes, you've been doing it for a long time. And so it takes that. We kind of have in our society, a fear of computer technology.
Sure.
And a lot of people don't go down that path because they don't have the hope. They're fearful of it. And so if we take that fear out and make it just kind of a regular part of curriculum and development in the academic setting, more kids will choose this as a pathway.
Well, it's truly fear without reason.
Absolutely.
You know, you mentioned the key element, right? Especially for you and I and our regular host, Chris, we're educators.
We've
seen those light bulbs.
Yeah.
We love when that happens, right?
Yeah, that's the brilliance of being a teacher.
And it's addictive, right?
When that happens.
Right. Who else then, though? So obviously, and maybe you can talk about this, is how we get the teachers ready to teach this stuff. Mm-hmm. But then who else do we need on the bandwagon then?
Okay, so we absolutely need the parents on the bandwagon. So last year, the NCC hosted Cyber Camp.
Yeah.
So Cyber Camp is, the curriculum comes from the Air Force Association, and it's the precursor to Cyber Patriot. So the Cyber Patriot competition is a cybersecurity competition for middle school kids and high school kids. So the precursor to that is Cyber Camp.
Sure.
So we have a 1 week Cyber Camp in the summer. And last year we had 25 kids come to Cyber Camp, and the moms came up to us at the end of camp and said, can you do a camp or some sort of class for parents?
Us. Wow.
And
let's quickly go to our sponsor because I really want to focus on that one.
Yeah, okay.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
And we're back at New Cyber Frontier here from the Secure Campus here in Colorado Springs. I'm with our guest from the National Cybersecurity Center, Dr. Mary Graft, and you were just talking about these moms that came up to you, and they had, after seeing what was done with their children, they came up and they wanted the cyber camp for themselves.
Right.
So tell me about
that. So the message was, we want to know what our kids are so excited about.
Sure.
And we want to know what our kids are doing. So, I mean, historically, in traditional public education systems, parents know what their kids are up to in class. You know what the curriculum is in first, second, third, whatever. But now you're introducing coding and programming to little kids, and it's out of the wheelhouse of the parents.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
There are a couple different classes of parents. In here, in Colorado Springs, we're fortunate to have a big military base and a lot of people that work in the industry of technology and cybersecurity specifically. They're not scared of it, and they want their kids along this pathway. Those are the parents that are encouraging their kids to compete in Cyber Patriot competitions as middle schoolers or
it's a
as,
big
in
deal
high school.
Here in the Springs.
It is. Yeah, it's really cool. The parents that aren't in the industry, they hear about cybersecurity. They don't really know a lot about it, and they don't know what to do about it. And one of the issues is that I think that a lot of parents or people, just regular community members that aren't in the industry, are fearful. They've heard all the horror stories of what could happen, and it's almost a head in the sand thing. They don't even want to go there because they can't put their head around well, how do we protect ourselves?
Sure.
You know, how do I protect my identity from being stolen? Yeah. How do I become cyber smart? And it's overwhelming to them. So we want to, at the NCC, we really want to bust that down.
Sure.
And provide opportunities for the community to be members of this ecosystem, mm-hmm. to learn about blockchain. Come to the NCC and take blockchain classes. Send your kids to cyber camp. We're going to be implementing Cyber 101 or a cyber smart training for community members.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every workplace needs to make sure that they have cyber smart training. So, and that's why Governor Hickenlooper initially set us up, because, you know, consumers and citizens in Colorado throughout the state were coming to him and saying, hey, you know, my elected or public official doesn't know anything about cybersecurity, but I was just hacked or my business was hacked.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're like, what's the solution? And he's like, that's how Hickenlooper set us up. So he worked with UCCS to set up the NCC. So, you know, we're building, we're involved, we're kind of at the center of this ecosystem that we're building up that will involve members of the community and public officials and school systems and kids.
Well, and think of the most basic element in parenting is just that cry to relate to their kids.
Right.
Right, and there's another avenue, right?
Right.
If that's where the kids are, I want to go join them. I want to be able to talk to them about something meaningful to them.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I can see that facilitating. And as you know, here at SecureSet, we host the Colorado Springs Cybersecurity Meetup. And it seems like some of those forums, like a Capture the Flag and some of the events you talk about, are these great places for us to welcome the parents to the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just get them comfortable conversing, knowing who's out there. Who are the other people in this industry
that
my kids may or may not be attracted to? Where can I find mentors for my kids where I might have a dearth in cybersecurity education? You know, I'd like to be proactively involved. So I love that sense.
Those of us that work in the industry, mm-hmm. we have to be very careful. And I just spoke with my intern and my fellow about this yesterday. That we have to be careful when we're talking about people who don't know, that don't know anything about cybersecurity or the industry or really about computer science in general, that some of the, and I'm not a technical person, but you get to a point where some of the vocabulary becomes just, you know, you're used to it, you're around it, you hear it, you use it yourself. But when you're talking to somebody who doesn't know the vocabulary, and they'd like to know it, we have to be welcoming. So I love your word, welcoming. We have to welcome the parents, and we welcome members of the community who don't know, but they think they might want to know.
Well, that is so SQL to the SSH, obviously.
Right?
Yeah, imagine, you know, it's a culture.
Right.
And what I've really witnessed, and one of the things that we're intent on doing, is creating not only culture members, cybersecurity culture members, but cybersecurity culture influencers and creators.
Right.
And that's part of, I think, the workforce development piece and the education piece for sure. And so in that vein, how do you envision making this happen for the parents and the rest of folks?
Well, to your point, I would call myself an influencer.
Yeah.
So I'm not out there teaching cybersecurity classes like you are doing here at SecureSet.
Sure.
And I'm not, you know, a college professor teaching a bunch of, you know, super smart kids about computer science classes. But I'm out there kind of gathering information.
Yeah.
So I've been traveling around the state trying to identify where do we have school systems. We have 178 school districts here in Colorado. And I have been able to identify less than 10 schools that actually have a cybersecurity program up and running. And that's tragic in a state that's really doing such great cybersecurity work. I mean, I could maybe expect that in a state that has nothing going on in cybersecurity, but it's not enough. And so I've been going around trying to identify who's teaching cybersecurity and how are they doing it and how are they doing it well. That's how I got to observe kindergartners with their little robotic spheres, which was super fun. In that same school, by the time the kids are in sixth grade, they're learning, they're utilizing Raspberry Pis in their classroom.
Yeah.
And so, and by the way, how appropriate we're recording
on
this
Pi
on Pi Day, right? So, and to talk about Raspberry Pi. So, now, if I was to just be talking to a random group of parents about, hey, here's a great pathway, and I started talking about programming, coding, robotic spheres, and Raspberry Pis, they'd be like, what? What's a Raspberry Pi?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be really careful that you don't you know, you want to, again, be welcoming. But so as I've gone around to identify the schools that are doing it great, one of the things that I've noticed is that the teachers that are actually doing just a wonderful job in K-12 that are bringing cybersecurity and the cybersecurity message and the cybersecurity importance into the classroom are all career changers.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Of course.
So they haven't come up through the ranks of teaching. Sure. They've come in, they're doing this as a second career.
Interesting.
And boy, is that because typically when you've had another career, mm-hmm. when you take that step back.
Sure.
In your salary, it's a really big step back.
I went through that myself.
Right, I did too. To become, you know, I had a big corporate career and then I went to teach and I took a 70% salary cut to spend time in front of kids and inspire them in the classroom. And, you know, back to those, you know, when you see that light bulb going on, it's worth it. And so I see that these very special people, you know, are implementing that in their classrooms and they're experiencing that joy now. So we're going around the state, the NCC is going around the state trying to find the greatest programs, you know, where is it going on?
Sure.
And so we're aggregating, I see us as aggregating the information and then synthesizing the information. So I'm going to be writing the NCC cyber education program that other school districts in our state, in our region, in our country could utilize.
Sure.
Like, here's how you can do it.
Yeah.
Right? You can do this.
Are you allowed to give any shout outs for some of the great things you've seen? Any particular school system?
Absolutely. We're right here in the Colorado Springs. We're close partners with two school districts. District 49,
yeah.
Peter Hiltz is the superintendent, and he's working hand in hand with us. And Nikki Lester is his director of career and technical education.
Excellent.
So she and I are working together. In fact, she and I are going up to St. Vrain Valley.
Okay.
They've got a cybersecurity program going on.
Wow.
up in St. Vrain. So we're going up there for the day on Friday to spend that day with them.
Great.
So District 49 here. Bill Tomio over at District 11, he's teaching just a fantastic cybersecurity class. And he came up with that program himself. He developed the program himself. So I'm finding these great individuals and putting them together. At District 49, their dynamo teacher, also a career changer, is Thomas Russell. So getting those two guys together in the same room to have them start talking about it. Then I have the STEM School and Academy, which is where I was yesterday, which is where they have program. The kindergartner is doing programming, and they're working on programming in every class. Yesterday I observed a lesson with kindergartners learning cyber vocabulary.
Wow.
So they learned the difference between fish with an F and fish with a PH.
And what does that sound like when you're missing your two front teeth?
Right, and they all are, right? They're six years old, and they're
so cool.
You know, they were talking about the tooth fairy, so it's super cute.
Well, let's real quickly go hear from our sponsor, and then I want to pick up on this.
Okay, great, thanks.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
And we're back with New Cyber Frontier. I'm Abe Thompson, your host, with our special guest, Dr. Mary Graft, here at the SecureSet Academy campus in Colorado Springs. Mary, you're just recounting these neat vignettes that you've seen across the state, and you were talking about these youngsters learning cyber vocabulary in kindergarten, you said?
Yeah, starting in kindergarten,
That's, you know, obviously a tremendous place to start. How do we potentially, given the national intertitle, how do we see this scaling then nationwide? And do you feel like you have access potentially to Secretary DeVos and maybe some others on that scale to get this message across?
Actually, I'm looking for a connection to Secretary DeVos.
Okay.
So if you have one, please make that connection
because
we'd love to bring that
message. My middle name is Amway, but we can talk about that offline. No
fantastic.
Joke. It's for real.
Okay. All right. I think there's a thirst throughout the nation. And there are different states have different programs going. Maryland is a state that is has a lot of cybersecurity stuff going and in education.
Sure.
Georgia. Came up with $93 million to fund their version of their cybersecurity center.
Wow.
So the state of Georgia is going to really, just because of funding, is going to pull way ahead. But, you know, I think about, I look at where we stand in participation in Cyber Patriot, for instance.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about the K-12 K-12 space, and I think about the kids that are participating at middle school level and high school level in Cyber Patriot. And we're sixth in the nation. But we're way lower than that in total population.
Sure.
So given our population, we have, you know, the sixth highest number of teams participating in Cyber Patriot. So
we've got momentum in
we
the state
do have
too.
Momentum, right. So I mean, what are we after? We're after, you know, California has more teams, Texas has more teams, Florida has more teams, Virginia, don't remember the other one. And I don't think it was not
Maryland. How about Texas?
Texas is in there,
okay.
Yep.
And, you know, so, the reason I ask is because you think about where the big NSA centers of influence are,
right.
Georgia,
right.
Texas, Denver, you know, Colorado, and,
right.
and you talk about Maryland, so.
And then you're going to have parental influence.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and then you're going to have more opportunities to tap into mentors. But one of the things that we're doing at the NCC is we're standing up a cybersecurity CTSO. So a CTSO is a career and technical education student organization.
Oh, neat.
So if a CTE department, career and technical ed department in a high school, is tapping into federal Perkins Funds grants to help run their program, which cybersecurity classes would be in that, or computer science, anything, you know, career related, they have to offer student clubs and activities after school that are related to the content. So, but there is no club. So this would be like FBLA and Skills USA and DECA. But while they might have like one strand that has something to do with cybersecurity, they don't have a club dedicated to cybersecurity.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So we're working with District 11 here to stand up this new club. It'll be wonderful for the kids. So not only will their competitive arm would be utilizing Cyber Patriot,
sure.
but they'd also have guest speakers and trips and working on soft skills and mentoring and
sure.
you know, job shadows and a lot of other things that they can do as part of this club. And also leadership opportunities, which is great for these kids.
And I know it's possible. I dare to say this, but we had a young man come to us, he's 18 years old. You met him actually.
I
during
did, right.
It,
yeah.
Made it right through the class, got picked up as I think he's just turned 19. He's got a job, full-time job at Motorola as a cybersecurity
Fantastic.
Professional.
Yeah.
As a kid, came out of Discovery
right. He's
Canyon.
He's a teenager.
Yeah.
If we think about it, he's still a teenager.
Yes,
and,
he is.
And yet he's capable of having this.
And the
really...
military does it. I mean, think
yeah.
of all the juniors.
Absolutely.
So you know, you we're on to something.
Right.
And, you know, I now have a sort of a proof text even here that it's feasible to get in there. Not need it. We can get people to proficiency and working and contributing to the solution in the workforce sooner.
Right, right.
You know?
Without all the college debt.
Yeah.
Now, I'm asked on a regular basis, certificates or college degree? And I say both.
Yeah.
But I think for the right student, the right step into this field is to start with certificates.
Yeah. There's a triad, right?
There is.
It's the education, it's the certificates, and then it's the know-how. And, you know, and of course, our focus in the classroom is hands-on education. That's what works. Everybody you ask, what's your favorite learning style? Oh, hands-on.
Absolutely.
And particularly in this industry. So, you know, I love to run into people that kind of see that, the value of that triad, for
right.
sure. Okay.
So getting back to your question about can we take this nationally?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Again, back in the K-12 space, if we, you know, when we're able to set up this student organization, the Cyber CTSO, whatever we're going to call it, we're working on naming right now, and we want kids involved in that naming. There are other states that are doing great work with regard to cybersecurity education, like for instance, the state of Tennessee.
I think we're just locked up here. Sorry.
So. Mary, as you talk about scaling national, you'd mentioned Tennessee as a proof text.
So again, in the K-12 space, the state of Tennessee has done a lot of work in getting really great curriculum that they've distributed throughout their state.
with regard to cybersecurity training.
Wow, Tennessee. So, I used to live there. So
right? They are so far advanced.
Interesting.
So a couple of states are doing a great job, and you know they've shared their curriculum, you know, in the interest of sharing best practices. I mean, they're really wonderful. And yet, they don't have a cybersecurity club for kids. So I told them that we were going to be trying to set up a cybersecurity club, CTSO, here in the state of Colorado. And they said, hey, that would be something great you could share with us.
Sure.
So when we get that, so this will be wonderful. I mean, the bottom line is this is great for kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, anytime in education, if you really want to figure out how to do it right or how to do it best, you put the kids first. And then in our space, that feeds wonderfully into the dramatic workforce development needs
yeah,
we have.
Yeah.
So we get these kids, you know, interested in this in the academic part of what they need to learn. You know, and it's not all about gaming. A lot of kids think
sure.
this is, you know, this field is about gaming. No, it's bigger than gaming and more important than gaming. And there are career opportunities
sure.
way beyond gaming. And so we need to bring parents and teachers up to speed on this, but we also will do that with kids by offering the academic opportunities
sure.
in the classroom, and then the after-school activities through clubs. You know, they have camps, like our cyber camp that we'll have this summer,
sure.
and then participation in Cyber Patriot, and after-school clubs where they, you know, bring in professionals from the community to engage with them and host them on job shadows and internships.
Yeah. Well, how nice would it be, too, just with all the angst and tragedy and drama surrounding our schools, right, to have some good news stories like this and sort of the positive, you know, what is, you know, what good is happening? Who is the hope for the future? Well, it's always our kids.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? If we raise the bar high, we just need to raise the bar
yeah.
high. And,
yeah.
and we don't need to dumb down education.
No.
We actually need to make education more rigorous.
Exactly.
Right, because
Stop.
The kids
yeah.
will meet the yeah. challenge.
They'll do it.
You know, there's a student at one of the schools around here who's mm-hmm. ready, literally a high school student, is ready to sit for the CISSP. Okay, you know, you need to have years of experience before you should sit for that at CISSP, but this kid is so advanced.
I wonder if I'm thinking of the same kid.
maybe,
yeah,
you
yeah.
might know this kid. This is a Colorado Springs kid. But there really is so much opportunity. I mean, to have a 19-year-old land a great job at Motorola, Motorola, great company.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
All these people out here, you know, I'm sure there are other cyber patriots out here right now listening. Give them a call to action. What do you need from all of us out here in podcast world?
I literally have a one-pager on call to action. I have probably 20 different things.
Sure.
So if somebody wants to figure out what you want to do,
yep.
do you want to work directly with kids?
Yep.
Do you want to work directly supporting educators? Or do you want to spread the word?
Sure.
So if anybody wants to contact me at the NCC, mm-hmm. I'm going to put this up on our website.
Sure.
They can click on a link and get a variety of different things. Like, if I want to work with kids, what should I do? You know, it could be anything from open the door somewhere to host a field trip.
Sure.
So kids can come actually see. If kids can't picture it, they can't picture themselves in that field.
Yeah.
So we really need to bring kids up. Host an internship in the summer. Host a job shadow. Volunteer as a guest speaker in a classroom.
Yeah.
There's so many things to do to
sure.
help kids. Okay, so I've got a list of that. Then I've got, how do you help a teacher?
Yeah.
Support a teacher who is either already teaching cybersecurity and just really needs, you know, more support in the classroom
sure, sure.
as another adult there,
yep.
or some resource funding or whatever.
Guest lecturers, whatever.
Plenty of mm-hmm. opportunities there. Or really just spread the word. You know, speak to a PTA group.
Sure.
Go talk to parents
yeah.
about the importance of this career.
So how do they get to you?
So our NCC website is cyber-center.org.
Okay.
And my email address is mary.graft@cyber-center.org.
Awesome. That is wonderful.
So welcome to have anybody reach out, and I'd be happy to shoot them the one-pager, and we really would love to have people get involved.
I do always love conversing with you, Mary, and I appreciate your time and your passion and your heart. And folks will probably hear your heartbeat straight through the internet. So,
good. Thank you for having me today.
Wonderful to have you. This is Abe Thompson, your host for the new Cyber Frontier, recording here at the Secure Set Academy campus here in Colorado Springs. Thank you for your time, folks. Thanks for listening, and keep it up.
The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Tech University.
Enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.